the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
You want to come down to the front. If you want to be able to see a bit better, then you're very welcome to do so. And you can come down to this bit down here. We've got a bit of space. If you want to come down, now would be the moment. That's it. That's it. Great. Well done. And doesn't matter if you stay where you are. That's fine. That's fine. Now we're just going to pray because we're going to have a think about those words that were just read. Okay. And we're going to pray first. So we need God's help, don't we? So let's pray. Our Father, we pray, please, that you would help us now as we think about particularly what the angels said to those shepherds, that you would help us to understand better how to have a really happy Christmas. Amen. Okay. Max, is it coming up on the screen? The Apple TV. There we go. That's the one. Excellent. Thank you. Great. Boys and girls, and mums and dads and everyone else, I want you to know how to have a happy Christmas. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'm having a happy Christmas already, although maybe there are some who are feeling, actually, I'm not having a happy Christmas. Maybe there are reasons for that. But actually, whatever we're feeling, we can still have a really, really happy Christmas. And I want to tell you how to have a really happy Christmas. And it isn't just about the food you're going to eat later or the presents you're going to open later, although those are really, really exciting. The way to have a really, really happy Christmas is to know two things. You've got to know two things to have a really happy Christmas. Now, for the first one, I'm going to read a little bit of this, which we've read at home a little bit. It's called The Christmas Poem. The Bible Society produced this one, and I'm only going to read a couple of the pages of it, but it's good for explaining about Christmas. But where the Christmas poem starts is right at the beginning of the Bible, when God made everything. So, are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then I'll begin. God has an idea. So God made potatoes and planets and puppies, giraffes and gorillas, goldfish and guppies, kangaroos, kittens, cows that go moo. Then last, best of all, he made me, he made you. To care for his world, to care for each other, to love and respect him like good sons and daughters. And when he was finished, God smiled and he said, "This is good, and it makes me glad. This is good, and it makes me glad." But something went wrong. We thought we knew best. We ignored what God said, made the world a big mess. So I laughed at you and you called me names, just because we were different and not all the same. We hit and we hurt and we bullied and fought. And the great God who loved us, we simply forgot. And it made God so sorry. And that's why he said, "This is bad, and it makes me sad. This is bad, and it makes me sad." I'm going to stop there just for a moment. Because the first thing we need to realize is actually something that's, well, not good about the world. It's that we're in a mess. That the world is in a big mess. And therefore, the first thing that we need to know is this, up on the screen. We can't save ourselves. Actually, Christmas is quite humbling because it says to us, we can't save ourselves. God sent Jesus into the world to be a savior, but if we need a savior, that must mean that we're in danger. We're in a mess. And therefore, it's a humbling thing that God's saying, "You can't do this yourself. I need to come and rescue you. I need to come and save you." So the first thing we need to know is we can't save ourselves. Can we say that together? We can't save ourselves. That's really important for us to understand. And the solution that God gave for the mess that the world is in, for all the badness, for the fighting that there is, for the arguments that we have with one another, sometimes for the bad things that go on, for all the hurts, the great plan God had, the great solution is to send Jesus. The solution is to send Jesus to be our savior, not to be our role model. Well, he is our role model. We are to copy him. We are to do what Jesus does and says. But that's not why he came. There's been quite a bit of talk recently about sports people being good role models. I wonder if you know who these sports people are. Okay, see if you can spot who this one is. Who's that? Andy Murray, very good. Everyone joining in. Grown-ups, you can join in on this as well. That's good. Next one, who's this? Jessica. Yes, well done. And last one? Tyson Fury. Do you want him as a role model? Interesting debate, that one. But do you want a boxer as a role model anyway? But anyway, there you go. Three celebrities and people saying, well, are these good role models? Are sports people good role models, good people to follow? Well, maybe in some ways they are, in some ways they're not. But Jesus, when he came, he didn't just come as a role model. The angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, when they proclaimed, they didn't say, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a role model has been born to you. Copy him." They didn't say that. Although lots of people think that's what Jesus did, that he was just a role model. And I've heard people say, in Christian services, that's the big thing that Jesus came to do. That he came to show us how to be generous to one another, how to be loving, how to be kind. And all we've got to do is do what Jesus does. Just imitate him. But if God did that, then basically God was saying to us, humanity, try harder. Come on, do better. Just do what Jesus does. And yet you look around the world and people aren't. So what's God's plan? Was God's plan really just to say, look, here's a role model, do what he does, try harder everyone, and people don't? Because if God was saying that, he'd kind of be saying, you guys can save yourselves. You can do it yourself. But our first point was this. What was it? After three, one, two, three. We can't save ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. We've got to realize it's not down to us. We can't just pull our socks up and do better and save ourselves. We can't do it. It's a bit humbling. It's kind of bad news. But actually, this is how to have a really happy Christmas. All right? So first one, after three, one, two, three. We can't save Very good. Next one. Okay, second point. Second thing you've got to know. Guys, you've got to know this to have a really happy Christmas. Second thing, Jesus came to save us. Okay, after three. One, two, three. Jesus came to save us. Really important to know. You've got to know this, otherwise you can't have a really happy Christmas. The angel did say, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior. Someone who's come to rescue us. And how did Jesus rescue us? He rescued us by dying for us, by taking all our sadness, all our badness onto himself when he died on the cross, taking all our sin onto himself. That's how he came to rescue us. A wonderful thing that even at Jesus' birth, we remember his death, that's how he came to rescue us. These people on Tuesday, this ride in SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida, it got stuck. And these people were stuck on this ride. It's quite a tall ride. I think it's quite a slow one. I've not been there or been on it, but I imagine it's quite a slow one that just goes up to give you the view of what everything's like. But they got stuck on Tuesday. The ride got stuck. Now, can you imagine if the people down on the ground, all those people stuck in that ride, imagine if all the people down on the ground just shouted up to them, try harder! They would have gone, we can't try harder. We don't know what to do. There's nothing to do. We can't just try harder. We're stuck. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. And you can imagine for these people, when the rescuers came, they actually managed to work it out such that it then came down and they were all able to get out. Everyone was safe. Everyone was okay. But can you imagine how overjoyed they would have been when it did start moving down and when they got to the bottom, and how thankful they would have been to their rescuers who came and sorted it all out. You see, for us as mankind, we can't just try harder. We can't just do better. We need a savior. But the great news is, Jesus came to save us. Together, Jesus came to save us. That's the great news. That's what he came to do. We couldn't do it ourselves, but he did it for us. And how do we respond? You see, if Jesus just came to be our role model, just someone that we are to copy. Now, don't get me wrong, we are to copy Jesus. Of course we are. But if that's all he came to do, well, then the response is, well, I've just got to try harder. It doesn't really make for a very happy Christmas to just say, well, I'm not very good, I've just got to keep trying harder. Oh. Whereas if Jesus came to save us, then we receive him like a gift. When you give a gift this afternoon, when you give a gift, what response do you want? You want the person to open it and be happy, to be overjoyed, to really love what you've given to them and go, this is perfect. These socks are just what I wanted, or whatever it may be. But you want them to be happy and to receive it and to be overjoyed with it, don't you? When God gives us his son to save us, he wants us to receive Jesus and to be overjoyed at what Jesus came to do for us. And just like the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph, we are to be overjoyed that Jesus came to save us. So, how do you have a happy Christmas? Okay, let's join in with these. One, we can't save ourselves. And two, Jesus came to save us. And if those two truths are not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that is the way to have a really happy Christmas.